Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem before the apostles with this question. In verse 5 it says, "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisee which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." So that they had to have this outward ritual, or else they would be lost. Very much today, as some would lead us to think, here is a man on conscience. He cannot speak, but he's dying. So we sprinkle a little water on him, say a few words, and wash away his sins. There are still people who have such ideas as the Judaizers in Birmingham, Alabama, some time ago. A church that had stood for 98 years was divided and split asunder because one lonely person of another race wanted to join it. In California, there was a boy who was witnessing to the hippies during the movement. He won some of these to Jesus Christ. He brought them to church, and as they came into church, you know what happened? The church said to him, "We are going to turn you out of our membership." And they dismissed the young man for his witness. You see the kind of issues that the church in Antioch is dealing with are the same kind of issues that we have today. I heard of a preacher who went out to visit some folks. And somebody told him, "We do not want those people in our church." We still have the same kind of thing that they had in the book of Acts. Our problem may not be circumcision or uncircumcision, whichever may be the case. But there are some people who would scuttle the whole mission plan because every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world needs Jesus Christ, regardless of who they are, where they live, what color they may be. Did you know that ritual, as well as people, often become bones of contention? We substitute a lot of things for the circumcision. Another thing, men go to the scriptures to get their support, and they took theirs from the Bible. They said Israel will one day rule, and the Jews are God's chosen people, and so today the cultists do the same the Reverend Mr. Moon goes to the scriptures and he says this and this and this. The Reverend Mr. Garner Ted Armstrong goes to the scriptures, tells you about the world of tomorrow. He can't even handle the world of today because he just lost and divorced his wife, his present wife. But when we come to the matter in which Paul had to deal with, Peter went down and he had a meal with the Gentiles. For the first time in Peter's life, he tasted a ham sandwich. Did you know that? That's the first time that he ever had any ham to eat. And then for breakfast, he had bacon and eggs. On top of that, now Peter was an outcast, according to some of them. And freedom is a risky business, but Peter said, we believe in Jesus Christ, and that's the thing that saves us. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, on the heels of this conflict, they said in verse 6, let us call a conference. This is the second part of the chapter. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up, and he said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made his choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the gospel. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So as the leaders gathered in Jerusalem, they wanted to share what had been going on in the church and among the missionaries. Did you give these men the permission to come? They wanted to be sure that they were representatives of theirs. And in verse 7, Peter begins to speak and to tell precisely what had happened to him. I think James presided over the conference. But Peter was a spokesman, and he told about his experience with Cornelius. In verse 8, he unfolded his experience, and that God had put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith in verse 9. And he gave Jewish history in verse 10 and 11. When he said, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That was a blockbuster in the Jewish history. I believe that we Jews will be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. He does not say that they will be saved, but he says this is going to be the normal thing for salvation. In verse 12, Paul and Barnabas began to speak. Then all the multitude kept silent, and they gave audience to Paul and Barnabas. And they declared the miracles that had been wrought. And after they had held their peace and said what they had to say, James took the floor and answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me, that Simon hath declared unto us that he first did visit the Gentiles in verses 14. He comes squarely face to face with the activity of God. That is, the way salvation comes is when a man comes face to face with God. In verse 15, he says, this activity is of God, and it is valid because it corresponds with the written word of God. And to agree the words of the prophets as it is written, he said. So, any activity in the church and in religion must be backed up by the written word of God. Whatever it is, whatever the question may be, we need to go back and look at the scriptures and see if this has the authority of the scriptures behind it. In verse 16, James refers to the prophet Amos and predicts that the time will come. And in verse 19, James suggests that a letter be sent to all the churches concerning three or four things, in which he says that this trouble be set aside and straightened out. In verse 20, we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. So there are three or four things that James says we can all agree on. That as Christians, we abstain from idolatry. We abstain from lust and from fornication. And we abstain from strangled blood, or eating that which has been strangled. So the conference followed the conflict, and they had a settlement. And then they came to the conclusion. And the conclusion begins here with verse 20 following. And conclusions are very important. I remember some time ago I read about a pastor who said, on Wednesday night we will have a meeting and we will talk about and thank God for the troubles we have never had. Don't know whether you've ever thought about that idea or not. At that meeting, one woman said, I thank God I've never had the appendicitis. Another woman stood up and says, I thank God that I've never had an operation. You know, some people will even show you the scars. And you know, another thanked God that she had never had a drunken husband. And a fourth one said, I thank God I've never had a husband of any sort. So she had a lot of things to be in conclusion about. Now when they come to the conclusion here, the conclusion was that there would be no fornication, no worship of idols, which the scriptures warn against, and all of this goes back to the covenant of Noah, even before the days of the Jews. They were not to eat things that had been strangled, because life was in the blood. And that was why the Jews had this law in the first place. And you know, it is not very human to do and to eat these things. In verse 28 and 29, he goes further and he says this. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the things by mouth. for it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to you to lay upon you no greater burden than these things that are necessary. In other words, the conference decided, are we going to have two doors? One door for salvation of Jews, another door for the salvation of the Gentiles. No, they wound up in the conference that if any of us are saved, as for example, if any of us are to be saved that are in this room today, regardless of the background of our lives, who we are, what we have been, we must come through the one door, Jesus Christ. That is the way of salvation. Peter had discovered this, Paul and Barnabas had, and now the entire church was endorsing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to get back to that historical account. That it is upon the grace of the Lord Jesus, upon the cross, minus nothing, plus nothing. Well, quite often you meet people who say, I would like to be a Christian, but I cannot do so and so. I cannot live up to this. But I have committed this sin in my life. But it is all by the grace of God. Salvation depends not on what you do, but what Christ has done already. And that was the result of this conference. And we need to stake our whole lives upon this. And we need to know that it is by the grace of God that we're saved. Minus nothing, plus nothing. So many people like to add a whole lot of things. Now leave off lipstick and rouge and jewelry, and you can be a Christian. Or you have to do certain things. But what Paul and Barnabas and Peter and James arrived at the conclusion was that God was very thorough in what he had to do. And I want to say to some of you, you were very thorough today if you found your way to this church without getting lost. There's so many holes in the streets and so many barricades. Any way you come, you have trouble coming in, right? It reminds me of this Scotsman who years ago went to visit in England. He lost a coin along the street somewhere, and a policeman saw him down hunting for it. Well, he had his suitcase. The policeman said to him, well, look, just take and go on off to the hotel, and I'll be standing around here this afternoon when you come back. If I discover your money, I'll return it to you. So the Scotsman went on off to the hotel with his bags. That afternoon when he came back, there was a hole in the street that had been dug. They had been digging a gas line from some house about 3 or 4 feet deep across here, and there stood the policeman. And the Scotsman came up to him, and he says, well, my dear man, I see that y'all are very thorough here in this town. very thorough, searching for his money that he gave off. When God does something, he does it very thorough. When the devil came to Martin Luther and he had a long list of sins, and he said to Martin Luther, look, this sin, this sin, and this sin. And Martin Luther began to study those sins in his mind. And then he said to Satan, he said, Satan, you have forgotten one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses all of those sins. What God does, he does thoroughly. And if he cleanses your life, he cleanses it, whatever the sin may be. And Paul and Barnabas went out on the second missionary journey to tell the world that they didn't have to be circumcised. They didn't have to be this and that and the other. All they had to do was to come to the cross, and Jesus would save them and forgive them. Thank God. That's the way we come today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will not have to carry some baptismal certificate or some record of our righteousness in a package, or some canceled check that we have paid for our salvation. But we will simply come claiming Christ, who has taken away our iniquities and our sins. Bless, we pray Thee, if there be one here today who has never found this Christ and the answer to their needs, may they come today and give their hearts joyfully to Him. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to turn now to hymn 198. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If there is a young person, man or woman, boy or girl, and you have never become a Christian, you have never given your life to Christ, and today you would like to follow Him and let Him be your Lord and your Savior, then I want to invite you to come to the altar and take your place on this front pew and say to God, I want to give my life to You. I want to follow You. There's someone who would like to make this your church home by letter or by statement. I invite you to come. Whatever the decision, while we sing hymn number 198, you will please respond.
each of us as we depart. Bless us as we go to our homes and on our way. Watch over and keep us and help us always to be mindful that Jesus Christ is central in our lives, both saving us, keeping us, and using us. In his name we ask.